Good morning. There are seasons in life when I think we would all agree that everything on the outside looks fine, but on the inside, something seems dried up. Maybe we go to work, we carry on conversations, we handle all the responsibilities that we have to do, but yet something that used to be alive, we just perceive as no longer alive. Maybe it was a time when your faith was on fire, when prayer felt very natural, when you just sense God's presence without any effort, but now it feels mechanical, kind of routine. Maybe quiet. Sometimes you can't even point to when it changed in your life, but you just know that something is different. That's where we find Ezekiel this morning, as we look in Ezekiel chapter 37. We find him not in a peaceful place. We find him in a disturbing one. If you're there with me in Ezekiel chapter 37, in the very first verse it says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and set me down in the midst of the valley." But when he looks around, it's not what he would have perceived, what we would perceive as a valley. It was really a graveyard. Because it also says in that verse that it was full of bones. Bones everywhere. Not bodies, dried up bones. Something not recent dead, but something that's very old. Something that's not slightly dry, but something that is very dry. The flesh is all gone off of these bones. Time has passed. And whatever was once alive is long since gone. Look down in verse 3. God asked Ezekiel this question. "Son of man, can these bones live?" That was not a medical question. I don't think that was even a logical question. I think that was a faith question. So in verse 3, he responds, "Oh Lord God, you know." He doesn't argue. He doesn't speculate as to whether or not they could or could not live. He places the answer where it belongs with God. So when you're standing in front of something in which only God can fix, that's where the answer must be. But as you think about this very interesting story, Ezekiel didn't choose this valley. God placed him there. And just that very statement challenges us because we perceive that if we walk with God, and surely Ezekiel did, that he's going to place us in places that are safe and places that make sense and have purpose. But that's not what Scripture always writes about these great people we read about in the Old Testament. Young Joseph was cast down into a pit. He was sold into slavery. Moses was sent off after his royal crown was taken, so to speak, into the wilderness. Find David hiding in caves. Now Ezekiel is standing in a valley, but it's a valley of death. As I thought about that, I said, you know, sometimes we find ourselves in places that we did not choose. Maybe you didn't choose that situation that's going on in your family. Maybe you didn't choose that financial pressure that you're under. Maybe that medical uncertainty. And so you turn around and you say, "Lord, why am I here?" You can be in a valley and still be where God has placed you. Doesn't mean that he caused you to be there, but it does mean that he's still in control when you're there. I remember hearing about a man who spent decades, built up a great business, only to watch it begin to unravel in a very short period of time. It collapsed, piece by piece. That's a valley, surely was for that man. But he said later that that season in his life taught him not to trust what he had built, but to trust God. Sometimes God brings us into a valley so that we can realize that we can't get out of the valley with our own strength. We need his strength. But this story goes on even deeper. He doesn't just lead him into a valley. Look down in verse 2. Then he caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And indeed, they were very dry. God shows him the whole picture. I wonder why he did that. I know by human nature, sometimes we want to minimize our circumstances. How are you doing today? What's our answer? I'm fine. We're not always fine. But we look at our problems and we say, you know, they're really not that bad. Or we think that they're going to work themselves out. And sometimes there are moments, I think, in which God literally stands us there and says, look clearly at where you're at. Because you can't change from where you're at until you're honest about where you're at. So, yeah, sometimes I think we live in quiet denial. Maybe the relationship is drifting apart. Maybe your spiritual life is growing cold. Maybe some pattern in your life is repeating itself over and over again, and it's not a good pattern. Maybe God wants you to look at it. That's what he forced Ezekiel to do. What did he see? Bones everywhere, scattered. It's been this way a long time for them to be as dry as they are. Maybe God leads us into such valleys not to discourage us, but to prepare us until you see clearly you can't understand what God can do. It's later in this story that God actually explains to Ezekiel what these bones are. Look down in verse 11. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. God saying, these bones are all of my people, children of Israel. And you have lost your hope. That's not struggle, that's despair. There's a difference between struggling and concluding that nothing will ever change. And that mindset develops, I think, slowly through disappointments and failures and unanswered prayers until hope just quietly disappears. And that's where Israel was. Not fighting anymore, not expecting change, just assuming it's all finished. But yet, in that condition, God asked Ezekiel, can these bones live? You see, up to this point, everything he has described is the problem. The valley, the bones, the dryness, the loss of hope. Now God introduces the solution. Not by changing the bones at first, but by introducing the power of his word. Look down at verse 4. So to Ezekiel, God says this, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Preach to bones, not to living bodies that can hear you. Preach to bones. to something that I'm sure Ezekiel perceived as being completely lifeless. By the human perspective, we could say what was asked of him was pointless. I could envision Ezekiel turning to God and said, "Look, Lord, they can't hear me." But the Lord wasn't asking Ezekiel to evaluate. He was merely asking him to obey. The power is not in the condition of the bones. The power is in God's word. I think we all face moments in our life in which obedience kind of seems to us unreasonable. We pray for a change, something important, and we just don't see the change. We go out and we speak to someone. We speak the truth of the word, and no one responds to it. You try to live right, do what's right. But the situation in front of you concerning that always looks dead. And sometimes we then conclude, what's the use? God said to Ezekiel, and I think he says to us, speak it anyway. Speak into the situation that has not moved for you. Pray for that person that seems far away. Hold to what God has said, even when there's no visible sign of movement or response, because faith is not based upon what you see. It's based on what God has said. So look at verse 7. Ezekiel obeyed. So I prophesied as I was commanded. I don't think he adjusted the message at all. I don't think he tried to make it more reasonable. I think he simply obeyed. And then in verse 7 it continues and says, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to bone. Boy, I would have liked to have been there and to seen that happen. Well, the silent began to move. Bones, you can visualize, begin to shift, and they began to come together. And what was scattered is now beginning to collect, and what was separated was now beginning to align, and structure was beginning to form what looked like just total chaos. And the process continued. Sinew came, flesh came, the bones were covered. Everything from the outside looked like it was complete. And if we were watching, we might say, that's it, look, great, life has returned. But verse 7 continues and says, but there was no breath in them. Everything looked right, but there was no life. I think that's where the story becomes kind of personal to us. I think it's telling us, among many things, that sometimes we can have the outward appearance that everything is fine. All the bones are where they're supposed to be. There's flesh. We're standing upright. We have activity, but no power. We have no life in us. And I think that condition is dangerous, because I think it's not obvious to us sometimes. We just go through the motions like a robot. And everything, again, looks fine, but it's not fine. And I think that's what Ezekiel was seeing. And that can describe us. We go through all these routines. When we see a problem, we try to work on it a little bit. We try to maintain appearances, and maybe your Sunday look's not your Monday look. I don't know. Sometimes we even try to convince ourselves that everything is fine. But we know deep down something is still missing. So the question is not, does it look right? The question is there life? And up to this point, Ezekiel has obeyed and done exactly what God has asked him to do, and the structure was formed. But life had not come. That's where Ezekiel stands. I think that's where we stand. And so that brings us in this story to the turning point. This is the point where something really changes. It's not out of the effort that Ezekiel extends, but what God does. Look at verse 9. Prophesy to the breath and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. Some translations say prophesy to the wind. It mentions the four winds. Can you imagine Ezekiel standing out there and he's prophesying to the winds? Come, wind. The Lord says, come and breathe on these slain that they may live. I thought of that and I said, you know, I've heard that before. I can go all the way back to the beginning of man. I can go back to the book of Genesis. I can see that he created man and woman and he had to breathe life into them. That's what was needed in the beginning. That's what was needed for Israel. That's what's needed for us. Look at verse 10. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived. Just like that. No long process of getting better. Breath comes, life is restored. What had been lifeless is now standing on their feet. Not only did they stand, but it goes on to say they became strong. They were an exceedingly great army. That's what you could call transformation. This valley was full of dried, scattered bones, hopeless and lifeless. Now those same bones are standing, alive, unified, strong. That's the power of God. But that's not all. Look at verse 12. I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves. I think God is saying something as simple as this. I'm not just giving life to the bones that are laying up on top of the ground. I'm going to dig down and I'm going to bring up those bones that are in the graves and I'm going to give them life too. We often think things are buried, that it's finished, it's over. I think this story says, God says, what you think is final is not necessarily final. What you think is closed, I can open. What's finished is not finished unless I say it's finished. Where we see finality, God sees possibility. I don't think this is just Ezekiel's valley. I think these stories are given to us because they relate to us in some way. I think it's our story. Again, I think everybody has in their life places that feel like dry bones. And God asks the question of Ezekiel, and I think he asks it of you and me. Can these bones live? Not based upon what you feel, not even based upon what you see, not based on how long it's been dead, based on who he is. So here's where we come in. Ezekiel didn't bring these bones back to life. God brought them back to life. Ezekiel just had to come and realize where he was, face the reality, speak the word. That's how it works today. We're not responsible for bringing life into the life of people. We're responsible for being obedient. So keep praying. Keep speaking the truth. Keep trusting God. And then leave the outcome into the hands of God. Back to that question, can these bones live? Not do they look like they can, not is there any sign that they will, but can they live? And the answer is found in God. Yes. Because God is still God who brings the dead back to life. I think it's a fascinating story. I wanted to share it with you this morning. You don't often read it. Because that's exactly what it continues to call us back from being dead in sin to being alive in Christ through faith, through repentance of your sin, through your willing to confess that you do indeed believe that He is the Christ, the Son of God, by being baptized to wash away those sins and then rise to walk out confident, trusting that He walks with you. Come if you will as we stand and sing.